Hello, this is Fred Blair. I'm the chair of the KPFK Local Finance Committee. It's 4:11 on August 11th, 2021. Again, this is the Local Finance Committee, and I'm going to start taking role now to establish quorum. Okay, the chair is present. Would people please mute their phones? I'm getting a bunch of noise. Okay, Alan Beek? Alan Beek? Elizabeth Van Gooten?
Here.
Michael Novick?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Rocio Rivas, Jeanine Rowan,
present.
Bella DeSoto,
present.
Polina Vasiliev, Grace Aaron. Ken Aaron, Dave Johnson.
Dave is here.
Okay. Steve Kaiser.
I'm here.
Ruth Strauss. Ruth. John Wanger.
Present.
Okay, Raymond Goldstone. Not the next four. The next four people are potential members of the committee. They've already been present for one meeting, so at least.
No. I've been present for four.
Okay.
In a row.
Thank you, Raymond. I'm going to record you as present for this meeting.
Thank you.
Wendell Handy. King Riley.
Present.
Maria Skilton.
Present.
Thank you. Okay, Barry Brooks is present. Is, Moan Thomas present? Mo is the interim general manager for KPFK. And I don't see him on the Maestro control panel, so recording him as absent. Okay. We have currently nine members present, so we have so we meet quorum. So I'm calling the meeting to order. Oh, I have to bring up my own agenda. Hold on a second. Has everybody got a copy of the agenda?
Fred, this is Ray Goldstone. It was not posted on the.
I'm sorry. Somebody should mute their microphone. We're getting somebody else speaking. Ray, I think I posted it on KPFTX, but I did send it out to the members of the Finance Committee. Do you want me to enter your email onto the membership list so that you get emails and financials?
Very much.
I will do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Fred, Bella has a question.
What's your question, Bella?
Yes. So people, when they become members, official members of this committee, is when they get added to the official list. Isn't that the rule?
The rule is, I understand from the policy that the LSB passed, was people have to attend three meetings in sequence to become a member.
And that needs to be correct. So that needs to be confirmed before they're added. You have to check them.
Bella, I will, as chair, I will take care of checking that. People,
Very good.
I have tentatively added, I have four people, added to a special list that, I will monitor their attendance to see when they become members. Those four people are Raymond Goldstone, Wendell Handy, King Riley, and Maria Skelton. There are other people that want to, if people want to become members of this committee, please email me and I'll start adding you to my tentative list. Thank you. Okay, then the first item.
Lawrence to the stack.
Lawrence, what's your question?
Okay, I have two things. First thing is, I believe the LSB policy is an equal amount of listeners minus one of LSB members. I believe that's the policy in order for someone from the public to become a member. And then I'm going to have to drop off the call in about 10 minutes. I just want to let you know, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Director Lawrence. Okay. The second item on the agenda is to approve the agenda and set the time certain for adjournment. The last meeting, we did not set a time certain for adjournment. We left that open. Is there any objection to doing that at this meeting?
Mr. Chair?
What is it, Bella?
This is Bella. You already set a time for 6:30. If there is no objection, then we can keep that time certain.
That's 2.5 hours. My objective as chair is to keep these meetings to 2 hours. I'd like to leave the time of adjournment open. If we accomplish our task before that time, we can adjourn. If we don't, we can deal with that.
You have 6:30. Do you wish to rescind that?
Yes. Beth, what is your question, Beth?
I would like to move do as you suggest and leave the time open-ended.
Again, is there any objection to leaving the time of adjournment open?
Bella to the stack.
Bella, there's no stack. Do you object to leaving the time for adjournment open?
Okay, I am calling your attention to agenda number 12 that you submitted.
We are not on the agenda at this point. We are on the agenda at this point. What about time, sir? Item 12, which is
number 12. Number 12, you have 6:30. That is your writing.
Yes, that was a mistake. I meant to take that off.
Okay, then I want you to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Back to the stack. I move the same motion I moved before, that we do as you have suggested, which would override whatever error there might have been further along.
Okay, hold on, everybody. Let the chair speak. The chair asked the question. People, please mute your microphone. Please mute your microphone. Does anybody object to leaving the time for adjournment open? That's the question. Hearing none, the time for adjournment is open. Okay. Are there any additions or changes suggested to the agenda as the draft agenda sent out.
Michael Novick of the SEC.
Yes, I recognize you, Michael.
Could you read that agenda for the stream? Thank you.
Yes, I will read the agenda of the stream. I have an agenda.
Fred, can I interrupt for just 1 second? This is Ruth. I'm out of the dental chair, and I'm listening to the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, I will record you as present, Ruth.
Thank you.
Okay, it was requested that I read the agenda. The agenda has 13 items on it. The first item was roll call, and which we did, and we have quorum at this point. I think we have a quorum with 12. No, we have a quorum with 10. Okay. The second item on the agenda is approval of agenda and set time certain for adjournment. We are currently on point 2. Point 3 is set time, date, and place of next meeting. Item 4, approve minutes from last meeting, if any. And that's 2 minutes. Item 5 is blank. Item 6 is chair's statement on committee rules and decorum and discussion. Item 7, report from GM. Item 8, report from business manager. And that's listed as 10 minutes and Q&A for 20 minutes. So it's a total of 30 minutes for item 8. Item 9, discussion of Pacifica P&L financials. That's 10 minutes with a Q&A of 10 minutes for a total time of 20 minutes. Item 10, updates and news from the NFC. NFC is our abbreviation for National Finance Committee. That's 5 minutes with a Q&A of 5 minutes. Item 11, review of FY22 budget timeline. I have it down here for 10 minutes and then additional Q&A of 10 minutes. Item 12 is new business. Item 13 is to adjourn. Now, we've already approved making that adjournment without a time certain. I'd like also to propose deleting items 6 and 7, the chair's statement on committee rules of decorum and discussion, and report from the GM, since the GM is not present. Both those items I would like to delete from the agenda. Is there any objection to doing that? Hearing none, items 6 and 7 are deleted. Okay, are there any additional items to be added or changed on the agenda?
Michael Novick, the SEC.
I recognize you,
Michael. Point of personal privilege, Lawrence.
Lawrence, what's your point of personal privilege?
I'm sorry to say that, but I have to leave because I'm having birthday dinner with my son, so I just wanted to say goodbye to the committee. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for attending, Lawrence. Okay, Michael. Michael, you have the floor.
Yes, especially since we've cut some time out of the agenda, I'd like to add some additional time for the review of the FY22 budget timeline in terms of further discussion of priorities, brainstorming of priorities for that next fiscal year.
Michael, I have 20 minutes set aside for the review of the FY22 budget timeline. I don't see why we can't, your brainstorming can't be part of that. And if we need to extend the time, if we get to that item on the agenda, we can always extend time if we need it. Is that acceptable?
Okay,
to you?
Thank you. Sure. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Again, are there any additional changes or additions to the agenda at this time?
Hi, Fred. This is Rocio.
Yes, Rocio.
I don't have I just wanted to make my presence known. I've been here for at least 15 minutes. I just wanted to let y'all know.
Okay, I'm putting you down as present. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. thank you for announcing yourself, Rocio. Okay. Again, the chair asked if there's any additional changes or to the agenda. Would somebody move that we accept the agenda as presented?
So move, Bella.
Thank you, Bella.
I'll give you a second.
Okay. We don't need a second in committee. Okay. Is there any objection to accepting the agenda as set? Hearing none, we have an agenda. Okay, we're now on item 3 of the agenda. Set time and date and place of next meeting. The place of next meeting will be on Maestro on Wednesday, September 8th at 4 p.m. If there's no objections to that, I'll move on to item 4, approval minutes from the last meeting.
I'm sorry, Michael to the stack.
Yes, Michael, you have the floor.
Is the 8th soon enough to have any kind of financial documents for the committee? Because I believe that the LSB meeting isn't until much later in the month in September. I was about to take a look at KPFDX. And if it's too early in the month to have financials, I don't think we should meet that early.
Okay,
the month starts.
Hold on.
I agree, Bella.
So you would like to move the finance meeting from the 8th to the 15th, which is a week later?
Yes.
Yes, because the LSB is not meeting until the 19th, and normally we meet the Wednesday before the LSB. And I think if we wait till the 15th, we have better luck to get documents to look at.
According to the
who's speaking? I'm sorry. Don't speak unless you're recognized. Who wants to speak? Is that Raymond?
Yes.
Okay, Raymond. I'll let you. You have the floor.
Thank you. I was just looking at the scheduling, and according to KFTPX, whatever it is, the next local station board is Sunday, August 15th.
That's this
one.
No,
we're talking about September.
Thank you, Michael.
We're talking about September. Okay.
Raymond, the September meeting is on the 19th, so Michael Novick is proposing to move the finance meeting to the 15th.
I understand.
Michael,
Michael Heist to the stack, please.
Who's requesting the floor again?
I apologize. My name is Michael Heiss. I had this down for 4:30 on my calendar, so I dialed in a little late.
Okay, Michael, you're not a member, but I'll let you speak.
Well, I'm a station member, and I'm running for the station board. Doesn't that mean I mean I should be able to participate?
Hold on, Michael. You're not currently a member of the finance subcommittee. The policy. Hold on. Let the chair speak and run the meeting. The policy is that people have to attend a subcommittee for three meetings in sequence to become a member. But I don't object to you speaking here. I'll let you speak. So you have the floor. Make your point.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And because I dialed in late, I would just like to note that I thought I heard you mention that you're scheduling a meeting on September 8th. That would be the second meeting I would participate in, and I'd like to participate. But in service to any members who are Jewish, that is the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and it typically wouldn't be appropriate to schedule a meeting where there might be some members who are of the Jewish faith.
Okay, thank you, Michael. How about the 15th? Is the 15th?
Hang on one sec.
That's Yom Kippur.
Yeah, no, 15th. It's that time of year. So, regrettably, that's a very, very bad time. I hate to throw things off kilter, but, you know, we're an inclusive and diverse organization.
Hold on.
Me, Michael Novus, for a sec.
Yes, Michael, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yom Kippur begins at sundown on the 15th, so a meeting is 4 o'clock. We're not interfering with Yom Kippur.
Of course, I apologize. Yes, it will, because you're not going to want to attend a meeting for 2 hours and then suddenly change your brain and go into a holy day. I do what you want because I have no say, but I think that's inappropriate and wrong.
We need to move on.
Bella, let the chair run the meeting, okay? In any case, by the way, Raymond, I am half Jewish, but I am not religious, and so neither date is a problem for me. But in any case, the rule is that the majority of the committee makes the decision on the meeting date. Michael, I think your suggestion to move it to the 15th is good. I would entertain a motion to move the meeting date from the 8th to the 15th.
So moved. Bella,
you can't move that. I'm sorry, you were proposing that motion, Bella. Is that's what you were
correct.
Attempting? Okay. Hello, Beth. You have the floor.
Hi. Thank you. I moved that motion before Bella spoke.
Thank you.
You asked for a motion and I offered it. Thank you.
Is there any objection to moving the meeting to September 15th?
If you did it on Christmas Eve, people would object.
I understood, but we have an imperative to do the business of the local station board. So if there's only one objection, the meeting is moved to the 15th.
Mr. Chair, there are no members of this committee that are objecting.
Understood, Bella, but I'm being less formal and allowing people to, to participate in the discussion. In any case, there's only one or two objections. The meeting is moved. The majority of the committee want to move to the 15th. Understood? That's the chair's ruling. Okay. So, we've set the date I will move the date on KPFTX to the 15th. Okay, we are finished with point three. We are now on point four of the agenda. Approval of minutes from the last meeting. I sent out the minutes, I believe, on Monday. Have everybody gotten the minutes and had a chance to look them over?
Mr. Chair, Bella, to the staff to be recognized.
Bella, you're recognized.
Yes, I object to the minutes as they are not representative of what transpired at the meeting. The recording is at KPFTX. Thank you.
Please, Bella. Does anybody else have any criticism of the minutes? Please mute your microphone. Janine, you have the floor, Janine.
I have not had a chance to listen to the meeting, so I'm wondering if we can wait to approve the minutes.
Are you requesting that we table the minutes until next meeting?
Yes, we can accept them, but we can wait to approve them, possibly.
I don't know if that works. In any case, does anybody else have objection to the minutes? I'd like to get an idea.
Ruth to the stack.
Ruth, you're recognized, Ruth. You can speak.
Okay, thank you. I don't know anything about parliamentary procedure or anything like that. Is it a problem for Bella to say what was the problem with the minutes and then possibly approve them? That's up to you, but I'm just making that suggestion.
Yeah, I'd actually like to know what her objection to the minutes are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ruth. I already stated that. Is they're non-representative of what actually transpired in the meeting. So the recording is up at KPFTX. Thank you.
In which way are they non-representative? There was one vote taken during
you
the meeting.
Recorded you recorded nothing of substance that transpired at the meeting.
May I state that all Robert's Rules of Order require of minutes is they record what motions were voted on, who was present at the meeting. That's what's in the minutes. I do not record discussion. I do not try to characterize discussion.
You missed a lot of important issues that were brought up in the meeting. And as long as that information is not documented, it's out of sight, out of mind. And I object
point
to that.
Point of order. I had to interrupt a very interesting day to attend this meeting. I don't want to hear the bickering. I recommend that the person complaining about the minutes look up on the internet what's required in board minutes. Fred is right. The member
hold on. Hold on.
Wrong.
Would you please mention your name?
Let's go into the meeting. Let's have a meeting.
Who is speaking? I want to know who is speaking.
Who usually talks like this? Ken Airy.
Okay.
Let's stop this bickering. Let's have a meeting.
This is Beth requesting the floor.
Yes, Beth, you have the floor.
Thank you. Given that no one has offered any amendments, I move that we approve the minutes as is, and with the understanding that minutes can be corrected or amended at any point in the future. Are there any objections?
Bella, we know you object. The motion was put on the floor to accept the minutes. Is there any objection?
To approve the minutes.
Thank you, Beth. Is there any objection to approving the minutes? I hear one, Bella. Anybody else objecting?
No, that was Janine.
Janine, do you object to approving the minutes also?
Yes, because I'd like to accept them and then approve them during the next meeting, because I don't know whether there's merit to the concern. So I'd like to be able to have the chance to listen to the recording.
Okay.
Beth?
I recognize you, Beth.
Thank you. The minutes can be amended or corrected at any point in the future. My motion stands, and it can be voted up or down. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I have the floor? I would like to make another comment.
Is that Janine?
Yeah.
Janine, you have the floor.
Yeah, that's never been the case on the LSC as long as I've been the secretary. They've always been accepted, and then the next meeting they could be approved. So I don't understand why we're rushing to approve minutes. You know, I don't see any harm in waiting to review them. So, but that's all.
Well, there's a motion on the floor to approve the minutes, so we have to... Since there's objections, we have to vote on that. I'll take the vote right now. Okay. Yes is to accept the minutes, and no is to not, and abstention is always acceptable. Okay, so the chair is voting yes. Alan Beek? I don't hear Alan Beek. Elizabeth Van Gooten?
Yes.
Thank you. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes is probably not present. He said he was leaving. So I'm just going to put him as absent. Okay, Rocio Rivas?
Yes.
Thank you. Janine Rowan? Janine?
No, thanks.
Okay, Bella DeSoto?
No.
Polina Vasilyev? Polina's probably not here. Okay. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Dave Johnson?
Yes.
Steve Kaiser?
Yes.
Ruth Strauss?
Abstain.
John Wanger? John Wanger? Okay. Okay. Raymond Goldstone?
Yes.
Okay. Wendell Handy? King Riley?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, but I'm not a member.
Bella DeSoto. King Riley is not a member of this committee.
Bella, I am taking their, I'm taking their votes, but they're not counting their
they
votes.
They are not members. They are not members
Bella,
of this committee.
Bella, please be quiet. I'm telling
you,
I'm
violating, you are violating the protocol.
They're not counting in this vote, but I'm
Why
taking,
are
I,
you
I,
asking them?
Because they are potential members, I just want to get the sense of where they're
when
at.
When they become members,
King,
when they become members, they can
Bella,
vote.
Bella, I will silence you if you don't stop. King?
Yes.
Thank you. Maria Skilton? Maria? Okay. Okay, so the actual vote...
There are other people in the public.
Bella, these people have announced that they want to become members. As I say, they don't count it. They don't count... Bella, please be quiet. Bella, please be quiet.
Siri Rido announced she wants to be a member.
Maria Skelton is here. My phone had dropped.
Point of order.
Yes, I announced myself in the beginning.
Point of order, Ken Aaron.
Ken, I've got you. And
okay, can I speak?
You have the floor. Hold on, Bill. Hold on, Ken. I just want to announce the actual vote by members. The actual vote was eight yes, two no. One abstention, two silent, and one absent. So the minutes are accepted. Ken, you have the floor.
It seems to me, it appears that somebody is trying to obstruct the meeting, not willing to allow the chair to run the meeting because the person who's obstructing feels they have authority over the chair and over the other members. Please, I implore the chair to not tolerate somebody hijacking the meeting. Let's do the meeting.
Thank you, Ken. I have silenced Bella, and I will unsilence her when we start the next point of the agenda. Okay. The minutes have been approved. Please mute your phone. I can't pronounce your name. Zio Redux. You were during a lot of click. I'm sorry, how's your name pronounced?
Hi, my name is Ziri Rido, and yes, it's correct what Bella said. I also would like to be recognized as somebody who wants to join the committee.
You'll have to send me an email, and your phone is
I don't have your email.
I'll give you My email.
Okay, I'm silencing myself now.
Okay. Please mute because you're making a lot of noise. That's what I was complaining about. Another guest is making noise too. Okay. We have accepted the minutes. We're now on to point 8 on the agenda. Report by the business manager. Barry, you have the floor.
Okay. Today, KPFK's current Bank of America operating administrative account balance is 6,491.79 as of August the 11th. We expect an additional amount of approximately 23,500 on August 23rd from the February 2021 and April 2021 and July 21 fund drive residuals online and online donations. Now, I'm not going to state all the other numbers here and from previous meetings, so I'm going to drop down to the second paragraph, starting with KPFK's summer fund drive. I'll pause for a moment to let you get down there. KPFK's summer fund drive that started on July 2021 has raised a total of $135,291 with 875 pledges and an average collection amount of $6,092 per day. The fulfillment rate is 78%. KPFK has 11,556 in sustainers and a total of 44 pledges. KPFK's outstanding accounts payable balance in Great Plains as of August 11th is 23,376 and spot 59. KPFK is now focusing on paying the most critical expenses to the station, employee health benefits, and employee payroll expense. KPFK has paid all but one of the law firm's Fisher Phillips invoices, balance owing of $4,400. In reference to the union negotiations, SAG-AFTRA talks are continuing for the reduction in employee vacation time and severance compensation as we speak. KPFK is in arrears paying essential services by $220,974 fiscal year to 2020. KPFK still owes the Pacific Network affiliate $17,000 for payroll advance on November 30th, 2020. KPFK continues to struggle in its quest to raise funds during the world pandemic, coronavirus, COVID-19, and the economic downturn. KPFK received in July 2021 the Doyle Edward Wire 2002 revocable trust in the amount of $14,000, and it's scheduled to receive an additional amount in the future. Currently, there is an HVAC repair problem with one of the compressors that service the PRA offices on the second floor. Cost estimate by APCO Engineer System is $1,798. That has been put on hold because of the cash flow problem with KPFK right now. KPFK has paid its employee payroll expense for August 15th and should be able to meet the August 31st, 2021 employee payroll expense. KPFK has paid its employee health benefits for July 2021. The health benefits for August 21 will be paid at the end of the month. KPFK's June 21 employee health benefits has decreased by 29% from the month of October 2020. KPFK's June 21 profit and loss statements for total operating expense has decreased by 25% from the month of October 2020. From the October 2020 and February 2021 fund drive, KPFK has raised funds for the victims affecting the Caribbean hurricane and Hana immigration reform. And these amounts are paid to the third-party fundraisers, which is the Caribbean Hurricane Relief Fund, the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund, the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, the Mecca Community Premium for the Children of Palestinians Affected by the Insurgent War, and the Rural Utah Project Education. Due to the world pandemic and KPFK's cash flow problems, 8 permanent employees have been laid off to meet the staff reductions mandated by the PMB, effective October 15, 2020, and February 1, 2021. The Pacifica Foundation 2020 audit is complete and will be posted on the Pacifica Foundation website momentarily for public viewing. KPFK and NEDA and the rest of the Pacifica Network is in full commitment of the fiscal year 21 audit that has a deadline of September 30th, 2022. The spring and summer fundraising of this year and the fund drive associated with the medium to large donations should prove to be good months for listener support revenue, podcast programs, cell phone app donations, and website online support revenue. We have streamlined some of our vendor lists to go with vendors that provide services at a reduced rate, including our phone services. The Pacifica Foundation, FJC, has extended the maturity of the FJC loan, which is owed $3.2 million, to 18 months to September 30th of 2022. As of this date, KPFK is in dire straits and needs capital infusion immediately. The summer of July 2021 fund drive and the funding of the second stimulus funding of $1.2 million to the Pacifica Foundation is crucial in buying some time for KPFK to catch up with the vendor expenses and providing payroll funding for its employees for 3 months. This includes its health benefits, license renewals, insurance premiums, fund drive premiums, property tax, national office, central services, and other accounts payable obligations. All hands are on deck are needed to turn around this unsatisfactory financial performance. This particular fund drive that we are now in is one of the worst fund drives in the history of KPFK, as you know. So that's the end of my financial report summary.
Okay. Thank you, Barry. I'm going to take a stack now. For people to ask Barry questions and get his responses. Who wants to be on the stack?
Michael Novick.
Thank you, Michael. Anybody else? Bella, I've got you. Anybody else?
This is Dave.
Dave Johnson?
Yeah.
Anybody else? I'm gonna put my own name after Dave. Okay. We can add people to the stack as we go along. I'd like to everybody gets to ask at least a couple of questions of the business manager, and you also can have a follow-up on those questions if need be. Michael, you've got the floor.
Okay, this is the same question I asked by email, and I still don't understand, or I haven't received a satisfactory answer. I don't understand why KPFK has not been making its central services payments this year. The figures, the budgetary figures we were provided through June of 2021, show that the, including the PPP money we've received, there's only a minor, deficit, maybe $90,000, through, the third quarter of the fiscal year. And that includes the accrual of the, central service payments, both to the national and to the, PRA, but we're told that at least the national payments have not been made. So I just don't understand why not. I can see where perhaps 1 or 2 months based on the figures were given could not have been paid. But I think only 1 month was paid. So could you explain what causes that discrepancy in the figures? If the, based on a budget that includes the, or financial documents that include the accrued payments, but we haven't actually made them, where that money has gone. Thank you.
Well, the central services, as you know, we haven't had the amount of cash flow to pay our central services in fund drives where we had a sufficient amount of funds, we would pay our central services. NEDA is showing the central services being paid, even though we're not physically making the payments because they are accruing the expense. So you have to show that on the P&L, even though we're not paying them right now. But that is an intercompany liability that we have to pay for. But that's just
yeah, but you're not understanding my question. My question is that the including, I understand that the $322,000 in PPP money really reflects last year's, the forgiveness of last year's PPP loan. But there was a new PPP loan this year, not quite as much. And it seems to me that that should have provided enough cash based on the rest of the figures to pay more of the actual central service payments. So,
no, that $322,000 for the PPP 1 and 2 loans were specifically associated with the payroll and the health benefits of the employees. That's where those funds were supposed to be utilized.
Yes,
Michael.
Regardless of what they were,
Michael, could the chair say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Since I sit on the National Finance Committee, my understanding is some of the PPP money was directly provided to the National Office to help pay the urgent debts at the National Office, like the bill to. To our accounting firm, NETA. So that may have bypassed the fact that the KPFK only made one payment of its central services in fiscal year 21. That payment was made in March. That's all. I'm finished.
I would like to see some documents that show just the actual cash flow. I don't understand. I understand that the $322,000 was not actual income this year. It's given us the last year's loan. There was money that came in to KPFK this year, and I understand that some of that was used to pay 1 month's central services. The month that we received that PPP money, we did make central service payments that 1 month. Nonetheless, that's counted as about $250,000 came in as income.
Okay, Michael,
money.
Can I interject something here?
Yeah.
We did get the PPP 2 money in March, but in the month of February that we had our fund drive, we did pretty well. So that's why we made our central services payment in March, because our cash flow was pretty good that particular month. It didn't really come from the PPP money. It came from our fund drive.
Okay, thank you. Can I just finish making my point? My point is that the amount of money that has come in total revenue for this year is enough to have paid most of the central service payments in addition to their other obligations. I don't understand why they weren't paid. I don't understand how to ask the question any more clearly than that.
May I offer some insight? Michael, they simply found other things to spend the money on than paying central services.
Who is speaking?
That's Steve Kaiser.
Yes, but the listed expenses, including central services, are not very shy of their total income. That's what I'm asking. What are the other expenses? If they're not listed, we need to know what they are. And why they're not listed.
It's difficult to understand you. Can you improve your clarity? I understand what you're saying there. You're asking for what they spend it on instead of spending it on central services.
Yeah, the budget we receive shows us the various expenses, personnel costs, administrative expenses. They add up to...
Point of personal privilege. Chair,
Grace,
may I be?
Yeah, Grace, what's your point of personal privilege? You have the floor.
Yeah, Michael is almost unintelligible. Can he improve his audio so we can understand what he's saying?
Thank you, Grace. Michael?
I'll try it without the headphones. Last time they told me I had to have the headphones on and use the mic. Is this any better?
Yes.
Yeah, it's your great.
Yes, it's
okay. I'm sorry. What I'm saying, a very simple point. The budget that the financial figures we've been given for the first three quarters show year to date actual income, total revenue of $2,333,000 and total operating expenses of $2,048,000, after which there's central service payments. The central service payments are accrued, but mostly not paid. So counting the fact that we did pay one for about $36,000, that would come to about $2 360,000, which is very close to our income for the year. But we did not pay the central services for 8 of those 9 months. So I don't understand why we didn't. If our income is that close to our expenses, including the central service payments.
This is Grace for the stack.
I'll put you on the stack, Grace. Barry, do you want to respond to Michael?
Like I said before, the central services are being accrued per month. I understand what he's saying to a certain degree, but you have to understand that KPFK's operating expenses on a month-to-month basis comes to like $245,000 per month. That's where that money went, paying for payroll, operational costs, health benefits, pension benefit costs. That's where all that money went.
And you're saying at the end of the day, there's not enough money left to pay central services.
Correct. Because we're, like I said in the last meeting, we're operating at a deficit per month of about close to $55,000 per month. That's a deficit.
It's not reflected in the financial documents we've been given.
Thank you, Michael.
Beth, to the stack, could you add me at the end?
Beth, I'm putting you after Grace.
Thank you.
Okay, Michael, do you have any additional questions?
No.
Thank you. Bella, you're next.
Thank you. So Michael is questioning what I have been questioning for about 3 years. And Anita has been preparing the finance, the P&L for the foundation. What they do is Michael calls it an accrual. It's not an accrual, really. It is being shown as payment because P&Ls are not supposed to have accrual. I have explained this I don't know how many times, but you have to have accounting information knowledge to understand that. What we are being told on the financials we are given is that, in fact, KPFK has made its annual payment every year worth $500,868 at the end of each fiscal year, September 30th, which is incorrect. Why? Because we never get a balance sheet. The balance sheet is where accruals are supposed to be. But because we do not get that document, they are sandwiched in here in the P&L as though given the impression that they are taken out of the funds that are received for that year, which is a misrepresentation. It is incorrect. It is improper accounting. And so what Michael is asking is what I have been asking for a long time. I sent the questions again. He picked it up. He asked the same question. We are still not getting an answer because no one here seems to understand the accounting procedure, how to report this kind of expenditure. This expenditure is being shown on the P&L as having been paid. If it was paid, as we know it has not been paid. Therefore, where is the money? Where is the money? Did the money go to New Day Pacifica? Where did the money go? Was it sent to KPFA for their referendum? I want to know where those funds went. In the last 2 years, we're speaking of $1,136. That is a lot of money. And there's no accountability. Now, I am going to go to the summary. In the summary, Barry, I have questions. Going to Kate, I think Siri is asking for receipt. Siri is asking to be
Bella,
on the
Bella, are you going to let Barry answer?
Is it?
Well, if he answers, you are going to take me off the stack. I have other questions. Michael already asked the question. He had no answer. So here we go on the summary. KPFK received, KPFK has paid all but one of the law firms. Okay, the second part of that, Barry, regarding the SAG and AFTRA talks, are continuing, you say, for the reduction of employee vacation time and severance compensation. But you never give us the amount. I want to know two dates, including June, even though...
Bella, let Barry answer. Bella, let Barry answer.
Then I have another question. I have another question.
Bella, let... Before... Bella, let Barry answer. I'm going to... Barry, okay. You have the floor.
Regarding the Fisher Phillips invoices for the law firm that we're paying money to, those talks are still in negotiation. I don't know what the numbers are right now. They haven't come to an agreement yet. So they keep going back and forth with the union and the members of the union. So that just keeps going back and forth. Getting back to your accounting issue, in the proper accounting for KPFK, revenue is based on a cash basis. That means when revenue comes in, we recognize it. Expenses are based on an accrual basis. So as months go by, we do have central services payments, so we have to accrue it. So we recognize it, even though it's not being paid. Okay? So you have to show that on the P&L. That is the proper accounting to show expenditures that are being accrued on a month-to-month basis. That's just like now, where we don't have the cash flow to support our expenses. A lot of these expenditures that are going to vendor payments are being accrued, but they're not being paid, but they are being recognized on the P&L. Okay? So, like, for example, you owe Southern California Edison $5,000 for the month of July. You don't have the money to pay in July. You accrue it. You recognize the expense the following month. Okay, I have the money. I can make the payment. So then it's paid. It's paid, even though it's recognized in July. That is the proper accounting, fundamental accounting. That's what that is.
Barry, are you finished? I'm going to unmute Bella now for her second question. Bella?
Barry did not answer because he is very confused. He's very confused, and he never has the proper answers. And I want to know how much compensation...
Point of order.
I have a point of order.
Hold on. Everybody stop. There's a point of order. There's a point of order.
It is a breach of Robert's Rules of Order and of decorum to denigrate another person in our meeting. You may question the information, but it is improper to impugn another person on the call. So I'd like to say that that should not be done and should not be tolerated.
Grace, the chair is going to record that in the minutes of this meeting. This is your first warning, Bella. Bella?
Of course you are. I have another question. It does not pay for me to spend my time in this committee when we are dealing with people that refuse to allow for the flow of information to be provided. And that's what is continuing to happen in this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Next person on the stack is Dave Johnson. Dave, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Barry, we were given a July 2021 fund drive allegiance report, and on that report, it mentions five Christine Blasdale special programs raising various amounts of money. And I just wanted to ask for confirmation on that because we had discussed in the last meeting that she was going to provide four programs and only bill for three. And according to this chart, that doesn't seem to be the case. I was wondering if you could comment on that. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Christine Blasdell has submitted three programs at $2,000 apiece. So that's a total of $6,000 for three. Any additional programs that she has submitted are free to us. She is not charging us for it. So we have to pay her $6,000 for the three programs.
Okay. So the
Renee Lynn, that's an extra program that we do not have to pay for.
Yeah, so she was going to give us four.
No, three. She's going to give us three. She's going to charge us the three programs.
I misspoke, Barry. She was going to provide us with four and bill us for three. And she's providing us with five, but you're saying she's only going to bill us for three.
Right. I'm only going to pay her $6,000.
Yeah, so she's providing five, but still only going to bill us for three programs at $2,000 a program. Okay, thank you.
Correct.
That was my question.
Margot, a listener, would like to be asking a question, please.
Who was that again?
Margot, a listener sponsor.
Margot, I will add you to the stack after Beth.
Thank you.
Okay, Dave, you're finished?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Okay, I had my own name down here.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. Point of information.
What's your point of information, Bella?
I heard Siri Rodeau asking to be on the stack before Margot Iser.
Who was that?
Siri Rodeau.
Barrett, I'd like to make a statement.
Who's speaking?
Barry.
Oh, Barry, go ahead.
Now, also getting back to Bella's question about the central services being accrued, she's right that in the fact where you're accruing the central services, the amount that you would see as far as the accrual would be on the balance sheet. So under liabilities, that number would be increasing. You would see that, like for intercompany of about close to $500,000 for essential services for the 2 years. Or actually, yeah, that would be about approximately $500,000. So if we had a balance sheet, that would back up the P&L. You would see that of all those payments that are not being made but are being accrued. The number would be reflected in the liabilities for the balance sheet.
That would be
Bella, do not speak. Barry speaking.
It is not. It would be over a million.
It would be somewhere in the neighborhood of probably like $700,000.
Barry, the issue here is how are accruals handled on a P&L? Is it correct on a P&L for accruals to be listed there, even though they're not being paid?
Correct, they are. Yeah, in other words, if you have an expense that comes in for a specific month, you have to recognize the expense whether you pay it or not. Like if you could pay it like in 2 months or a month or whatever, but that expense has to be recognized when it is received. Even though if you're not paying it, then it's accrued.
Thank you. So the way that our P&Ls works, accruals are listed on there as paid, even though they aren't paid. So that's the way P&Ls work, and that's the point.
Right.
You know,
but
so our P&Ls.
If you wanted to see that as far as the reflection of it, then you would go to your balance sheet and you would look at your liabilities, and you would see the liability number going up. It would be increasing. So you'd have a large amount of liabilities.
This is Michael Novick. I'd like to get back on the stack at some point.
Michael, I'm adding you to the stack. And
also Ruth Strauss to the stack. Thank you.
Who was that? Who was that who just spoke up?
Ruth Strauss.
Got you, Ruth. Okay, somebody please mute their phone, the one that's beeping. So I'm currently have the floor, Barry. I would like to ask a question around the fund drive. I sent out FunDrive spreadsheets that I got downloaded from the Allegiance website, since I was given sole access as treasurer. The excuse being that we pay for access, and therefore if we gave more people access, it would cost us more. So I'm acting as a central point. That's what I've been told, at least. I don't know that that's the case.
The Allegiance software only allows you a certain amount of licensing. Okay, so you can't just give access to just, you know, a number of people. You only get a certain amount of access through the license.
Thank you for clarifying, Barry. In any case, this fund drive is doing, looking at the fund drive, this fund drive is doing very, very poorly. The fund drive was down to a daily average of $6,000 a day. And the spring fund drive ended up at $9,000 a day. That was the one that ran from April 20th through June 4th. That finally ended up at $9,000 a day. But this spring fund drive, I mean the summer fund drive, is at $6,000 a day, which is going to have severe effects. Could you comment on this? It's going to have severe effects on our cash flow and on being able to pay our bills. Barry?
You're absolutely right, Fred. KPFK is in a dire strait as far as our cash flow. Part of the reason for the dismal numbers for this particular fund drive is that we don't have a program manager. So we didn't run any ads prior to the fund drive starting on July 20th. We usually, you know, run ads toward the start date of the fund drive to get people, you know, knowledgeable that the fund drive is going to run. And then when it starts, you know, you have a pretty good head of steam where you can, you know, get some pretty good numbers there. But with the pandemic and with the Delta variant going through, and with the summer, people taking vacations, that's had an effect on it. And like I said before, we don't have a program director. That's had adverse effect of it. I've been talking to Terry Guy, who's the membership director, and we're going to have to run the fund drive to the end of the month in order to make it through September, because our fund drive, the next fund drive, is going to be on October 1st. And it's been the history of KPFK that we do not have a fund drive in September. I am trying to figure out how we're going to pay payroll and health benefits for the month of September. I don't know whether or not I can. If I had a chance to go to a bank and borrow the money, I could probably make it through September. So it's going to be a really tough time to make it through September. I think we'll make it through August, but September is going to be the challenge.
Barry, could I have a follow up? When you say ads, are you saying are these advertisements on our kpfk.org website? Where are these ads?
They're actually promotions going up prior to the fund drive. They're on the website, and they're also being aired on the programs prior to the start date of the fund drive, that we usually do before a fund drive starts.
Okay. I'd like to comment. At the NFC, we've been going over the proposed KPFK budget for this fiscal year. And Anita, that proposed budget from NETA is 9 months of actual numbers and 3 months of projections. And NETA is projecting that we will have a $250,000 deficit by September 30th. You want to respond?
$250,000 deficit.
And that was, you know.
I wouldn't put.
Go ahead.
It all depends on our fund drive numbers between now and the end of the month. And then we're probably going to be in a soft fund drive for the month of September to try to bring in more money. So to say that it's going to be $250,000 loss at the end of September, I don't know. I don't think it'll be that much. I think it'd be more like $180,000 loss. That's what I think it will be, a little bit below 200,000.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. The next person on the stack is Grace. You have the floor, Grace.
Okay. I'm looking at the profit and loss statement as of the end of June, and I see other income in the income category in January of $322,271.52. Is that the PPP funding, Barry?
That is. Yes, it is, Grace.
Okay. So, and was there any other PPP funding that's not reflected?
Grace, that was last year's PPP, not this year's PPP.
No, this is the fiscal year 2021. It's in the January.
Yeah, but it's the forgiveness of the previous year's payment.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So
we got two of them. We got two PPP.
Okay. So the second PPP funding is not reflected in this profit and loss statement. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, let's see. The other question I have are the legal expenses for the union negotiations reflected in this profit and loss statement?
Yeah, they are. On line 61, for professional fees, we paid a total of like $68,000 to Fisher Phillips and one other law firm. And as of today, we owe $4,400 that's reflected in June of this year.
Okay. Also, thank you. What line reflects the severance payments that were made?
We don't have a line item for severance payments, but I believe it's probably in line. It would be included in line 39 for salaries.
Grace, my understanding is from there.
Salaries, okay.
Grace, my understanding from the AFC is that the severance has been folded into the salaries.
Okay. All right. Now I'd like to ask Barry, in your opinion, will the decreases, from what I understand from calculations, prior calculations, before the expense reductions were made, principally staff reductions. We were running a deficit of between $70,000 to $90,000 a month. After the expense cuts, I believe now our deficit is between $50,000 and $55,000 a month. Barry, do you predict that will be a running deficit for the future unless we somehow manage to improve our income?
That would be correct, right. Unless we improve our income, our cash flow, that's going to be the going rate from month to month. Because as long as we're in fund drive, we can pay bills, we can make obligations, but, you know, for a month that we're not in fund drive, we're struggling.
Okay, and my last question is, in the last meeting, you said that the soft fund drives were bringing in approximately $1,000 a day. Is that correct? Is that still the case, or would that be your estimate?
Yes, that's my estimate, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. The next person on the stack is Beth.
Hi. this is a question for Barry. Hi, Barry.
Hello, Gus.
I'm still getting to know this system, and so maybe you can help me understand. Given that it's Central Services that obtained the PPP money times two, and Central Services covering the expense of union negotiations, election expenses, legal expenses, and other administrative expenses, Why is essential services such a low priority that month after month they fall right off the bottom of the list? And I'll just put all the questions out there at once and let you take them in whatever order makes sense. Related to that, then, who makes that determination as to which expenses are prioritized and which are deferred? And on the basis of what criteria? Is that the GM, or is that you, or is that, does NEDA have something to do with that, or is it someone else? Where is that determination made? Thank you.
Okay, so currently the determination as far as what expenses to be paid off are is basically I'm doing that because we don't have really a general manager that's active in making these decisions. So right now my objective and concentration is to pay for the payroll. The payroll has to be first to the employee and then also health benefits for the employees and their families. So those are the two expenditures that I'm concerned with in trying to make a payment. So if I have money to pay it, I do. I pay it, and I pay the health benefits. If there's any money left over, then we can consider, you know, like central services. We have to talk about operational costs, organization. So those are the things that are in play right now. They've hired a new general manager. He won't start until September the 15th. So I basically probably will be also having conversations with him when he starts about what expenditures to pay for. Now, I noticed that NEDA has made a suggestion that they make the determination as to what expenses that we should pay, and I'm against that. I don't think NEDA should be telling KPFK or anybody else in the network of how we should pay our expenses or what we should pay. We can make that determination ourselves. So that's basically what it comprises of right now.
Thank you.
Beth, are you finished? You don't have any additional questions?
That's enough for right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Margo, you have the floor.
Hello. I am a listener sponsor for many years, a member, subscriber, and I have been told continuously on the station that my money that I contribute is what runs the station. Therefore, I believe it is totally important that it isn't just one person on one committee that makes a decision of who to pay and what to pay. It should be a decision made by the entire LSB who is supposed to be representing us, that we need to know where every penny goes. Secondly, you say that we might fall short in the next month, but it's a good sign that one of the paid programmers is saying he's going to resign. So I think that might make a reduction in the amount of money that has to be paid to salaries. Okay, now the third thing is, you mentioned Blasdale, and I have several times turned off the station because of a repeat of a program. Now, she may have done some new ones, but she mentions October 2nd as a date that she's going to be with somebody, high price premium, going to be putting on a seminar. But I regret that if anybody's doing repeat pitches or repeat programs or anything like that, they should not be paid at all, and it should be announced beforehand that these are repeats, not pre-recorded. So there are things. I want to know where every penny goes. And it should not be made by one person. It should be made by the LSB. And I don't know if this finance committee is the one that's supposed to do that. But I actually think the LSB should be determining what payments are made on a regular basis, because it's supposed to represent me who pays the money to support the station. So I was making that comment, and I appreciate those who are trying to get really specific clarification, factual information out to everybody. Thank you.
Margo, the chair is going to make a comment. You have a fundamental misunderstanding of the functions of governance and management. Barry is the business manager. He's a manager at the station. He has actual powers to do things. Governance does not have the power to do anything at the station directly. We manage one manager, the top manager at the station, And the only management we can do is basically we're involved in hiring. We can't actually not we can't actually fire the general manager. That can only be done by the executive director, but we are involved in oversight of management. We can say things, but we can't actually do anything at the station. It's very frustrating for people on governance, but that's the way governance works. Barry, is there any response that you want to make to priorities of how you pay things?
No, I was just going to mention that regarding her comment that the Finance Committee is an oversight committee that actually looks at the P&L and sees where all expenditures are being spent and can make comments about where they're being spent and how they're being spent. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that about that.
Thank you. The next person I have on the stack is not currently a member of the Finance Committee, but wants to be. Her first name is Zir, Z-I-R-I, and I don't ask me to pronounce your last name. I'm sorry about that, but you're a brand new name to me, and I'm having problems. But in any case, you have the floor, and you can ask a question of the business manager.
Hi, this is Ziri, Z-I-R-I. Last name is Rido. And I just have to... A very simple question, actually. So why is it that the balance sheet is not in the report that is offered to this committee, and it's so difficult to find the actual accounting? And second question, was it at the time where the accounting was still done in-house cheaper or more expensive for doing the accounting? So I understand this outside firm gets paid. Obviously, people before got paid who did it in-house. What is the more efficient way to do this accounting? These would be my two questions for right now. Thank you.
Okay, Ziri. When NEDA was hired in 2018, they made the statement that they were going to provide the balance sheet for all of the stations. We have a balance sheet for 2019, and that's it. They're supposed to be coming up with 2020 balance sheet as a fiscal year 2020. But they are involved with the audit. So we just completed the fiscal year 2020 audit, and now I guess we're getting ready to dive into the 21 fiscal year audit. So they're very busy. Getting back to your question about cost, it is more cost effective to have our financial operations located internally here, whether it be Berkeley or L.A. or where have you, versus hiring an outside firm. Hiring NEDA is very expensive. And some of those, the central services payments that we were supposed to be making, some of those central services payments were going towards the payments of audits, the payments of legal fees, and other expenditures. So, yes, it's expensive. It's expensive to hire an outside firm to handle your financial operations. So that they made that decision that NEDA would be doing our financial statements. But we don't have a balance sheet right now.
This is great to the stack to respond to that, Fred. I'd like to respond.
Pause your next question? Because Grace has made a point of order. Grace, you have the floor.
Yes. I am familiar with the cost of our internal accounting staff at the national office level before the engagement of NETA. The cost, we had a chief financial officer and we had two accountants and another bookkeeper and another part-time bookkeeper in the national office. By engaging NETA to do the work that was done or was supposed to be done by the internal national office finance staff, we are saving between $100,000 and $150,000 per year. The cost of accounting staff, I am not including the cost of accounting staff at the individual stations. Over and apart from the accounting staff at the individual stations, such as Barry Brooks, who's our business manager, we had, as I said, one chief financial officer was a CPA, another CPA, and a couple of senior accountants in-house at the national office. And that was costing us between $100,000 and $150,000 more than what we're paying now to NETA. I know this because I was part of the audit committee, and I was on the Pacifica National Board. The other thing is NETA also provides us with HR services, human relations services, and other services that we were not provided with by our national accounting staff. The other important thing to understand is that with in-house accountants at the national level, we were backlogged in our audits by 4 to 5 years, and we had lost our CPB funding. So we had extremely expensive accounting staff at the national office level, that's separate and apart from the business managers at the station level, and they somehow were not effective enough to conduct the national office. Since we hired NETA, we have caught up with our audits, and we've just recently been completely caught up. We are no longer backlogged in our audits. All our audits have been done. So not only are we, to sum up, NETA has helped us to get our audits done and up to date, and it is costing us between $100,000 and $150,000 less than when we had internal national office accounting staff.
Michael Heiss for the SPAC, please.
And Ruth Strauss was skipped.
Ruth, Ruth, you're next. And Michael Heiss, is it? I'm putting you on the staff.
Yes.
Michael Novick. Who's just spoke up? Was that
Siri is waiting. You cut off Siri.
Who? No, Siri. I'm sorry. Siri is next. Siri, you can continue your second question. Okay.
Thank you very much. Hi, this is Siri. Okay, can you hear me?
Siri, you have the
next question.
Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. So. My question was, will there be any accountability of NETA for providing these balance sheets timely so that we have a chance of doing real-time, you know, an idea of having where we are at the current moment?
Who's speaking? I took care of it. Go ahead, Zuri.
Okay, so I just wanted to know if there's any plan of ending NETA ever or to continue this process if they do not provide balance sheets as we need them. That's my question. Thank you.
Barry, you can respond as you want.
I don't know if there's any ramifications behind them not providing the balance sheet. Current balance sheet, but we have actually asked them to provide the balance sheet. So maybe in the next month or so, they can come up with the fiscal year 2020 balance sheet since the audit for fiscal year 2020 was completed. So maybe it'll be coming pretty soon, hopefully. But as far as any kind of penalty for them not producing it, that's not my purview. That would be the national board to do that.
Okay, I'm Zuri. Thank you. You've asked a couple of good questions. Ruth, you're next, and then Michael Novick, and then Michael Heist. Ruth, you have the floor. Oh, I'm sorry. I had Ruth, hold on. Ruth, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. So my first is a statement. I do not see why locally there can't be a balance sheet done just to check Netta whether they're accurate or not and to be able to have the figures here. I would think that, you know, a business manager would have that kind of information and Netta can supply it. Again, I am not a financial person, and I'll be the first to say I don't know about it, but it would seem like the figures would be here and that should be done on a local level, never mind if Netta does it or not, just so we can know where we are. The second thing is I in no way believe that the low fund drive is at this time, what we're getting, has anything to do with a program manager at all. It has to do with fund drive fatigue. We have just been in fund drive over and over and over again. And to find out that we might do it in September and October, don't be surprised if we don't get very much at all. This is something, as they say, something's got to give. Something is going wrong here in terms of where money is going. And final thing is that I am not a financial person, but for the life of me, I cannot understand how unpaid bills of $300,000 don't either show up in a profit and loss, it's just stupefying to me. It, you know, until it's paid, it's a loss, I would think, or I guess you're talking about a balance sheet, but it certainly, you can't really show a profit when you've got $300,000 that hasn't been paid. And that's, I'll just stop at that. Thank you.
Steve, to the stack.
I've got you, Steve. Barry, you want to respond to Ruth?
Well, as far as producing a balance sheet, that would be, pretty intensive to create a balance sheet in Great Plains, which is called the Management Reporter System, in order to produce a balance sheet. Netta was hired to do this. I mean, we pay Netta to produce profit and loss statements and balance sheets. So, I mean, I want to see what they have, but I could do it. I mean, I could put a balance sheet together, but it wouldn't be very accurate. So I don't know how accurate it would be, in other words. So that has to be programmed.
Bella to the stack.
I've got you, Bella. Okay,
like
just
before,
Michael Novick, you're next.
Thank you. I'm returning to my original question. I'll spell it out. In October 2020, on the P&Ls that we got, KPFK shows $399,000 in revenue and $266,000 in operating expenses. That's a difference of about $133,000, but it did not pay $41,000 in central services. Why not? The following month, in November 2020, I agree there's a deficit. KPFK, however, carried over $133,000 from the previous month and had $103,000 in income. That's $236,000 total and $249,000 in operating expenses. So clearly they're unable to make central services that month. That might account for why they borrowed the money from the affiliates. In December 2020, KPFK is showing $315,000 in income and $248,000 in operating expenses. That leaves $67,000 that did not go to central services. Why not? In February 2021, KPFK had approximately $305,000 in income and $207,000 in operating expenses. That leaves $98,000 that did not go towards central services. Why not? If we're claiming that there's a $55,000 a month deficit, why is it not visible on the P&L. The P&L is showing, including the accrued central services payments, a $90,000 deficit through the first three quarters of this fiscal year. So there are only two possibilities. Either there's an overstatement in income, which I think is possible. I think there might be some duplication in the website income. We've always had a lot of confusion about that compared to the listener support line. Or there are expenses that are not being shown on this spreadsheet. But one or the other has to be accounted for. Otherwise, there's no reason why we did not make our central service payments as required. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Barry, do you want to respond?
Like I said to you before, Michael, we got a PPP loan in November that's being reflected in January, so some of that money that we're using for the PPP loan is being absorbed with the $50,000 or the $55,000 deficit that we're incurring every month. But we're basically just utilizing that money to pay for the payroll and the health benefits and the operational costs. Once you pay those particular items, you don't have much money left over to pay for central services.
Ken to the staff.
Who was that?
Ken to the staff.
Oh, Ken. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah. Just a question for Barry.
Who was that?
Question for Barry.
Okay. Steve, I'm going to let Steve Kaiser go next, and then I have Michael Heist and Bella, and then Ken. After Steve, I'm going to let Ken have the floor, because Ken is a member of the Finance Committee, long-term member, and then we'll let the new member, Michael Heist, ask a question. Okay, Steve, you have the floor.
Fred, if it's all right with you, I'd like to let Ken go ahead and ask his question to Barry now.
Okay.
It seems better.
Okay, Ken, you have the floor.
Thank you, Steve. Barry, isn't there an interim general manager on post named Mo?
That's correct, but he's located in Washington, D.C.
Well, I understand. There's very few people that go into the office. However, why wouldn't you refer to him in terms of decisions of what bills to pay or not pay? He has a higher authority. Because you refer to this to say as if, well, you have to wait till the new general manager comes on post. But you have a general manager.
I have sat down with Mo when he was out here in L.A., and we have discussed the expenditures that we want to pay for first and foremost in light of the cash flow problem. So, yes, I have had discussions with him. So, basically, you know, we're trying to pay payroll. We're trying to pay health benefits. We're trying to keep the lights on, you know, the electric bill. Those are the most important bills that we have to pay for.
I understand, but this. Does he sign off on this procedure?
He looks. I mean, there's no paper trail as far as him signing off, but we have discussions about where we are and paying bills going forward.
Okay, so you talk to him once a week at least, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, whenever he's available.
What, is it once a week?
Once every 10 days, probably, around there.
Okay. That's the end of my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Steve, do you have a question? Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to elucidate, as a financial professional, a little about a balance sheet. A balance sheet's much more difficult than just a profit and loss, which just shows income and expenses. You got to wrap up the whole organization in a balance sheet. That's why we got one coming out next month for the fiscal year at the end of September, and hopefully we'll have that. But putting together the balance sheet is a much more involved process than that, and we have to have accounting that's really on top of things all the time. And I don't think Pacific is ever going to have such accounting. And what we have now, and with NIDA and what they've been able to do, stepping in and getting some important things done for us, has really been a blessing from heaven, honestly. They've done a good job, and we finally got that underway, and we've got some hope. Now, as far as the endless fund drives go, it's that we've not come up with anything else that we can substitute for it. We invented this process of offering premiums to listeners for their support that all these public radio stations still follow. We invented that 70 years ago. And at this point, we need to have vision and creativity to invent ourselves for the 21st century. Because just getting these premiums coming in, and especially with the membership department wanting to constrict the number of premiums we offer, and not having ones that are really hitting a chord with the with our audience, you know, it really undermines our ability to bring that in. We need to come up with new financing models and new direction for Pacifica altogether. But we're just mired in the things of the past. I've been a part of this community about 6 years, and everybody's complained about the programming. But I step back and I see so little things have changed in the programming in that time. And obviously, programming is the problem. I'm sorry to run on like this. I'm almost done. Something should be done about the programming, but we still have 4 hours of expanded programming 4 nights a week, which I know doesn't seem to detract from everything else. And, well, at least we don't have the awful safe harbor programming that we went for a while. But we need new programming. We need to bring people in new ways. And the lack of truth out in our culture in general seems to be an opportunity to reinvent ourselves along those lines, which I've endlessly belabored and I'll stop doing. But we can't get out of the fund drives because we've got no alternatives. And the balance sheets, we'd have to have the structure of Pacifica to be much tighter, and on top of it, to be able to come with balance sheets like that, I would say just be grateful to get them as often as we do. All right, thank you for your time.
I want to thank Steve Kaiser so much for having explaining to us about the balance sheet. I'm not, as chair of the finance committee, I'm not a financial professional. I'm an engineer with a good knack for numbers, but this issue about the balance sheet, that how much resources it takes to generate that, I know we do it once a year in September 30th for the changeover of the financial year from one to the next. That's required by the auditors to and the general ledger before they can start the next financial year. And it's evidently a very intensive and very difficult process. Involves balancing out, collecting numbers on all the different bank balances that we have. And every station seems to have about 3 different bank accounts. If you add that up, it's about 15 to 20 bank accounts for the network. In any case, thank you so much, Steve. We really need that your comments were so on point that I have to really thank you. Okay.
Well, thank you, Fred. Let me mention also that Barry is on top of the balances in all these accounts. It's not like he doesn't know it or we are not in control of what's in the balances. It's actually putting together that statement that is the hard part. But they're in control of the balances. That's, we don't have to worry about that.
Okay. I'm after the next couple of people. Yeah. After the next couple of people, I've got to have to. Who's speaking? Please don't speak over the chair. I'm going to have to end this agenda point after the next two speakers. I'm going to give Michael Heist, since he's new, a chance to ask the business manager a question, and then I'm going to go back end with Bella, and that's going to be the end of this. Question and answers for the business manager. Michael Heist, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure that you have my name spelled correctly. My last name is H-E-I, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, so that it's properly recorded that I've attended the meeting and
Boy, do I agree with the last speaker. Listener-supported radio is more than a tote bag. And, you know, we've all fallen into that trap, as has the whole industry. But here's a – hopefully I'll break the streak with a quick question. It was mentioned earlier that Christine Bledsoe and whoever the person is with the magic disc and the brain waves that cure cancer stuff, that we pay for those. Is there any way to know right now what the pledge amount raised against those programs is, so that we have an idea of the ROI?
Michael, Fred here. I'll send you these Excel spreadsheets with the fund drive information that I sent out to the rest of the committee members. You'll have to send me an email.
Thank you. If you don't mind, I probably don't have your email.
I'll give you my email address, the one I use for Pacifica. It's my name, fred.b.blair@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bella, this is your second run. You're going to end this agenda item. You have a second run at Barry.
No, thank you. So this is the first time that Steve Kaiser, knowing very well that I have been requesting a balance sheet for years. This goes back to 2005, by the way. He never spoke before about the balance sheet. But the second part, what he said, is true. Barry has control of all the numbers. He doesn't have to work at all. A balance sheet in Great Plains is an easy step. It's just requesting the proper reporting. So he can give us a monthly balance sheet with all the information that we need. However, the breakdown here is that he has not recorded the income properly and the payables properly. If you do not record all the payout responsibilities for the organization on a timely manner during the month, equally for all the income, whatever the classification is, then you are not going to get a proper balance sheet. And the balance sheet has to show income, the assets, the liabilities, and the gain or loss. And that's what backs up the P&L. The P&L, I have said before, should not be listing any such item that has not been paid. And this is why Michael and I continue requesting backup to substantiate where those funds have gone. We still do not know. So across every year, we are shown these numbers on the P&L. They should not be there. The P&L is not for accruals. Accruals, I've said before, are for the balance sheet. And if you do not know accounting, then you don't know the difference. And that is the problem here, why we do not get the proper reporting. We have people in charge controlling all the flow of information, and we're not getting it. Thank you.
Barry, do you want to say anything?
Okay, getting back to your statement about balance sheet, there's no gain or loss on the balance sheet, so you're wrong there.
I did not say gain or loss.
Bill, let him answer.
On the balance sheet. And then as far as the income and revenue, all that is being accounted for in the bank statement per month, all the revenue that flows into the operational business account, all that revenue is being accounted for on the month-to-month basis. So I don't know what you're talking about as far as that.
What about the expenses? What about the pay?
The expenses are being accounted for. All the invoices that are being sent to KPSK are being accounted for and are being paid or being accrued. If they're not, we don't have the money, we accrue the expense.
Okay, Barry, are you finished?
I am finished, yes.
Okay. I'm now moving to agenda point 9, which is discussion of P&L financials. I have 20 minutes down here. It's now 6 o'clock. We're basically running out of time. We've been running for an hour and 50 minutes.
Okay.
I assume everybody got the June P&L that I sent out this morning. I very much didn't want to send that out since it was I only got it on Monday, and we're not sure how since it's from Nita, it's probably pretty close to the real situation, but we were still waiting, wanted to wait a couple of days for any error corrections or any updates that Nita wanted to do to it. But I'm not sure how to lead the discussion into the monthly P&L. As reported, these are now actual numbers that are reported for June. As Michael pointed out, there's now a deficit as of June of $90,819. And this, knowing that the fund drive is underperforming in July, and now we're in August, this is only going to get worse. I'm just going to, Beth, do you want to say anything on the P&L?
Not initially. I can wait.
Well, I'm opening the floor for discussion at this point. Michael, you have the floor.
Okay, these are just two questions. Maybe they can come up to the NFC. I don't think they can be answered here. I have two concerns. One is that in the summary that we got from NETA, there's no mention at all of one of the business units, the Pacifica Affiliates Network. I think that might be because most of the report has to do with the comparison year to year, and that's a new unit that had no information for the previous fiscal year. But I think that should be called to their attention, and there should be something in the summary about the Pacifica Affiliates Network. And in relation to that part of it, I find it confusing. They list central services, and it says central services from stations. I wasn't aware that there was central service payments to the Pacifica Affiliates Network, mainly their source of income from the foundation. But those central services are carried on this chart as an expense to the Pacific Affiliates Network. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I'd appreciate if somebody can clarify that with any DA at the national level. I'll just reiterate what I said about the KPFK financials. If you're showing through the 9 months a deficit of $90,000, and we understand that if you look at the year-to-year, year-to-date, there's two columns. It's fiscal year 2020. The deficit was $697,577 through the entire fiscal year. Through the first three quarters of the last fiscal year, in other words, year-to-date, fiscal year 2020 compared to 2021. Fiscal year 2020 had $316,000 deficit through three quarters and a $697,000 deficit through the whole year. That means in the fourth quarter, it was a deficit just in the fourth quarter of over $300,000. And if that's what we're facing for this fiscal year, we're in a lot of trouble. Now, I understand there have been reductions in payroll, but that was still a big, big increase in the final quarter, because historically the fundraising is never as good in the final quarter as it is in the first quarter. So I think that's a very, very troubling projection line. That's all.
Can I intervene here. NIDA is projecting that the final deficit at in September 30th will be on the order of $250,000. And that's just a projection, and I think that's taking into account the fact that the fund drive is doing very, very poorly. And you're right, historically the summer has been not a good time for raising money. So this does not look good. No, I don't know what I can add to that. It's a bleak picture.
Bella to the stack.
Margo to the stack.
And Dave's been waiting as well.
Okay, I'm going to take Dave first and then Bella.
Thank you, Chair.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'd like to just reiterate that if we're in this situation, there's only two ways out of it, and that is that you raise revenue or you cut expenses. And that I had several questions here. One of them, we were talking to Barry a few minutes ago about whether or not he could produce a balance sheet and some other things, and I could elaborate a little bit more on how difficult it is to create a balance sheet if you don't have one to start from. You need a starting point from a previous month or quarter's balance sheet to come up with the figures to accurately produce a new one. But the question I had for Barry was, is Barry still working half-time, and he's not even a full-time business manager? That was one of my questions. And getting back to the idea about cutting expenses, well, we do have Ian Masters that has said he's retiring and that he's leaving the station, so that'll reduce the payroll. I was curious if his producer that is also leaving, that would be two people, although Ian's revenue from his SunDrive work is quite good, so that'll be a revenue loss as well as an expense reduction. And then the other thing I wanted to question about would be getting back to cutting expenses. We're pretty much at a point where about the only thing we could do is ask a couple of staff members to go on half-time or have to give them some kind of layoff. And I'm talking about the fact that we're the only station that has a music program director, and our website guy is working half-time. You know, there's not a lot of fat in this. And getting back to revenue, there's a lot of things that we don't ever do revenue-wise that could bring us in some money, including that we should immediately try to start producing a high-quality estate giving promo that we could have on the website or that we could air during fund drives and other times, you know, during the year. And we can copy some very successful ones that are currently used by some of our other public radio stations. But we could start to emphasize estate giving, which I don't think we really do very much. Although I think we're doing a pretty good job with our car donations and a couple things like that. And then lastly, one of the things that I've been shocked about is how we have some programmers, some on-air hosts, saying that they don't have a premium to offer during their show. And, you know, it's not like we don't have T-shirts and coffee mugs and grocery bags. And I've been saying it for about 7 or 8 years now that Margaret Prescott's Dollar a Day Pack was a very successful promotion. It was a very catchy thing. The station, KPFK, should produce what I call a universal Dollar a Day Pack, made up of various items that we could talk about elsewhere. And that should be offered by every host who's maybe running out of not having a premium that day. It just seems like we go on the air even when we're desperate for money, and we have hosts saying that, you know, the membership department can't handle us having a premium every day. It's just criminal in my book. But anyway, so there's a couple ideas, and I would like Barry to respond and let everyone know or remind everyone whether or not he's working full or half-time. Thank
okay.
you, Chair. That was it.
Dave, I'd like to also respond. It would also be nice if we had a general manager here that could respond to some of these questions. A lot of this is management's responsibility. I'll pass it on to Barry to answer what he feels is appropriate. Barry? Barry, are you still there? He's still, Maestro says he's still present on the phone, but,
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I was muted there for a minute. Yes, as far as what Dave was asking, yes, I am being cut still, by 15% on my salary. As far as the premiums go, on-air hosts and programmers are offering premium, but we're trying to cut back on premiums because we do have to pay out, you know, the packaging of the premium, the mail cost, the packaging, the mail cost, and that also adds, you know, to diminishing returns in some respects. So we're trying to get away from a little bit of offering so many premiums, but you're right, we should be offering more creative premiums such as T-shirts, but we do have those here. So I know that Terry Guy has been running some premiums for that, so... But I'm not sure for T-shirts for MUDS for this past, for this current fund drop.
Can I ask a follow-up, Chair?
Go ahead, Dave.
Yes. Do we know if Ian Masters losing his producer? So when Ian retires, is a producer being cut as well? Would he be able to answer that question? And yes, I mean, we've had a series of general managers that don't bother to come to finance committee meetings, that don't seem to ever take any suggestions, including the one that left us a few months ago. So, you know, that's all for me. Thank you.
Oh, and we can have only drop by a handful of times.
I'm sorry. One last thing about the premiums. You know, it's just criminal when we have a limited amount of time to be on the air trying to raise money to not ask for premiums. And the proof is in the pudding here because our fund drive is doing terribly. So we need every person, every hour with some decent quality offerings, or we're just quite frankly losing revenue, which is reflective in how this fund drive's going. And we could have volunteers help package and ship out. I mean, there's a lot of ways that if a few of us sat around a table for 30 minutes, we could figure out how to support the on-air staff if they were, in fact, offering and getting donations, i.e. orders, for premiums. We've got a lot of people that want to help this station, and they could all I know there's a lot that would volunteer to help pitch in. And that's all for me. Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome.
Are we losing the producer and...
Barry, did I hear right that you said you've been... Your salary has been reduced 15%, because I thought you were at 50% reduction.
No, they brought it back because of you know, we had to come back into the office. So, but they still are cutting me.
Okay.
Getting back to what Dave was saying about Graham Fitzgibbon, the producer, he will still be employed. He's not. As far as I know, he will not be leaving with Ian Masters.
Okay. Thank you, Barry. Okay, Bella, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Barry, you are at 15.15% reduction right now. Is that correct?
Approximately, yeah.
Okay. So, regarding, I wanted to touch on two issues here. I want to touch on what Dave proposed, but I wanted to say that you did say that all the income is being recorded into Great Plains. I am concerned about the payables, right? I'm always concerned about the payables. The payables are the ones that need to be properly entered into Great Plains so that we can get the balance sheet. Once that's done, then all you got to do is ask for the balance sheet from Great Plains. You don't have to go anywhere.
It's not that easy. As Steve Kaiser pointed out.
Let Barry answer, Bella.
But I can respond. Like, let me respond, Barry. Let me finish. Barry, please. I will send you the steps how to get the balance sheet. And then we can dialogue.
I don't need nothing from you, Bella. I don't want nothing from you, okay? Getting back to the payables issue, all of those payables are being accounted for. If you have the payables, and if we have the money, we pay them. If we don't, they're being accrued for that particular month.
Okay, but that's not what I...
So anything, So anything that comes into the station as far as bills and expenditures that we owe, that KPFK owes, they are being accounted for. And if you look at that aging list, you can look at that aging list I just sent you that will tell you what we need to pay.
Okay.
Now, that
so
aging list, like you said, like you said before, you're right. You're saying, well, Barry, it's not really accounting for all the payables, and you're correct. The intercompany payables are not on that list, like the payables for the central services. So that's not on the
list. Why not? And why not? These are payables to the – every unit has to account for all its expenses. And an expense doesn't – like telephones, utilities, they don't have to be a payable. These are expenses. Overheads are expenses. But the central services are payables. So you have
correct.
To know, distinguish between an expense and a payable. The expenses have to be paid right away. Those have to be paid on demand. And you know which
one.
They
can't be paid on demand because you don't have the money to pay them.
No. That's another issue. I'm speaking of the accounting procedure. Okay, so if you don't want me to send you the steps to get the balance sheet on a monthly basis so that we can get it, then you really don't want any assistance. So I'll move on. I will move on to what Dave said. My position is all the reverse. We have to leave offering premiums that are costing us even a penny. And we have to provide, and I hope that Steve backs me up on this, we have lots of pressures that we can provide and offer all around at every fund drive. We have in-house treasures and anything from a coffee mug to whatever. But what we need to do is redo our programming grid. And that's where our breakdown is. And those that want to maintain the program as is are missing the white elephant in the room, is that it has not worked.
Bella, we can't go over everything. Thank you for ending. After Margo, I'm going to have to end this segment, and we'll have to determine if we're going to go on to the budget timeline agenda item.
Yeah.
Margo, you have the floor.
Thank you. As listener sponsor, I'll let you know, I wanted to know, I happen to clarify whether the saying that the fund drive isn't going well is based on the amount of pledges or if it's based on the amount of money that is actually being paid. Because at one point, a while ago, I got really angry at KPFK for something, and I only sent in part of what I pledged. And lo and behold, a few months later, I got a bill that you still owe X amount on what you pledged. And so I dutifully sent it in and asked for a bumper sticker. So I wanted to know how it's being accounted that the fund drive is doing so badly. Is it just because people aren't pledging, or is it because they aren't actually paying what they pledge? And I'll tell you truthfully, I have to tell you, I just completely switch over to KUSC or KJZZ just when I hear the same program over and over and over and over and over and over. It's on the programs that I really, really like and that are actually really pertinent, are not put on, and there's a repeat program, I find myself saying, forget it, I'm turning to another station. So that may be driving people away from this, someone said the endless unfund drives. So we do need to come up with a cooperative way of community organizing and finding what really would be what the community wants and using that as a lure instead of just things. So thank you. I just wanted to clarify, is it being said that the fund drivers new levels who are just not pledging, or if it's because they're not actually paying for the pledges? That's the important thing I wanted to know. Thank you.
Probably not pledging.
Oh, okay.
Fine.
Okay, thank you. They're not pledging. Okay, well, it still will be even rubber will meet the road, so to speak, because you'll be finding out how many actually pay for what they're doing. So even if a lot of them paid anyway, that might help. Okay, thank you.
Barry, do you want you want to say anything?
The fund drive is underperforming because we're not getting enough pledges. People are just not responding to the fund drive and making pledges on air. Just not making it.
You
have a shrinking audience.
Thank you, Barry. The chair would just like to say, since I've looked at the Allegiance data, there's a couple of major fundraisers that are not raising money. And I won't say anything. Now we have to talk about that would have to get into personnel issues, which we can't talk about in public. So I'm not going to go there. And
listener sponsor, who sends the bill, needs to know every detail. Sorry, you can't keep things confidential. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Personnel issues are not discussed in public. I don't know who just said that. But that puts the foundation at risk to talk about those that type of material. That's management's area, and if we could get sued if we started talking about that in public. That's normally talked in an executive session. Okay,
John Wenger to the queue. I'm listening here, and I've not spoken yet, and I am a member, and I'd like to speak to this matter.
You haven't spoken at all. I'll give you a minute.
One minute, go ahead. Okay, that seems very generous. Well, here's the point, Fred. I think you're wrong about this thing about a personnel matter. I think a personnel matter is something like, they're a thief. They're stealing the pencils. They're abusive to people. They're nasty. Things that are really kind of personal. On the other hand, they have a professional profile. They have a program that brings in a lot of money or doesn't bring in a lot of money. That's not personal. That's business. And so I do not believe that we can be sued for saying something like Roy of Hollywood, brings in all this money in the late hours from midnight till 6 a.m. because he's doing a good job. He's bringing a lot of money. He's beating the people in prime time. And this is a good thing. But if he wasn't bringing any money, then it would still be okay. It would still be professional. Stuff saying things like that are personally bad, stealing the pencils, taking supplies home, bad mouthing other people. That's all personnel stuff, and that's private and protected. But stuff like how does it perform? That's just fine. That's professional information. So I think we're really wrong there, and I think it's a mistake to claim that we cannot talk about whether a program is bringing in any money or not. That's the basic point of a finance committee. Now, the other people need to weigh in on this because, frankly, Fred, I just believe you're completely wrong, and we really need to hear from somebody who knows something about the personnel committee. That's a committee that I've never been on, and I really think there are people who know about this. Grace would know about this, and many others would. Michael Novick would know about this. So let's hear some information about this.
Can I say
that?
Who?
And I support John, Bella.
Janine to the staff.
Janine, you have the floor.
Well, I was just going to suggest that maybe we could have a special session next week or the week after before, because we're going 5 weeks before we meet again. Maybe after or just before the Labor Day holiday, because I feel like we're at a point that we really need to iron out some problems. I don't think we can go 5 weeks without, dealing with sort of emergency mode. So, and personnel might be part of the puzzle.
Janine, can I say something? It seems to me that an executive session would be more appropriate for the LSB. You know that things are going on in the background that we can't talk about. And that's all I'm going to say, because there are legal issues here, and I don't want to put this organization in danger.
I understand. I think it would be better for us to find a time now, because assuming that the LSB does need to take some action or have a meeting with the Finance Committee, we could decide on a date now. It seems that it would be a smart thing to do.
Bella to the staff.
Hold on.
Michael Milton, question, trying to get on the Michael, staff for the response about the committee.
Michael, please,
Fred.
Steve, I've got your name down here. I'm going to let Michael speak because he's the chair of the board.
Okay.
Michael, you have the floor.
Okay, just to clarify. Thank you. I am remotable. Just to clarify about the personnel committee. The personnel committee of the LSB deals really only with two questions of personnel, which is to say management. And it has to do with evaluating general manager and the program director on an annual basis. Since we currently don't have a permanent general manager or any program director whatsoever, the personnel committee is currently not meeting. The personnel committee does not, in general, evaluate individual members.
Michael?
Of the board, either, in general.
Michael, yes. You broke down. We couldn't hear you.
I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I'll repeat. The personnel committee of the local station board has two tasks based on the bylaws, responsibilities of the board. They are to evaluate the general manager of the station on an annual basis and the program director of the station on an annual basis. The local station board does not have any supervisory or administrative powers regarding any other personnel. We do not evaluate individual staff members. That's the responsibility of management. We do have a program oversight committee. That committee is meeting, I believe, Monday. And that may be an appropriate place to look at the programming grid and the effectiveness of the programmers. But that's not the task of the finance committee.
John, to the queue again. I want to hear everybody, but I want to come back in the queue, please. Brad, please okay. Note that.
Great for the stack.
Brett, can I talk now? Real quick.
Go ahead, Steve, John.
Right. Just real quick, and I don't want to invite others in on this, but Bella, stop insulting Barry and his understanding of bookkeeping. He's doing things different than yours, and you're constantly a fountain of insults, so please stop that. And another thing, referring to what Dave was talking about with inheritances and pursuing estates, there are two cash flows to Pacifica. One is the premium, and the other are the inheritances. That's what's running the whole organization. And I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. We need more of a focus on that to contact well-heeled supporters, and we've got dozens of them, and who might connect us with other people in that area that are interested in seeing the continuation of Pacifica. And my final point is that we're really missing a good opportunity right here, and this is what an organization like ourselves should be seizing. Right now, there's a massive amount of discussion, debate going back and forth about the COVID-19 virus. We should be in a position to give a package, to give a premium to people that give them both sides of the arguments as to the vaccines. What are the pro-vaccines? What's the whole universe of the vaccines like? What is the anti-vaccine? The counter-vaccine position like. And if we had that in a package, I bet we'd sell thousands of those. So we have to react to the market and offer what the market has, and the market will reward us by sending us the support. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Grace, you have the floor.
Yes. The local station board has the right to form an ad hoc committee for a specific purpose. It also it's an oversight body that should be monitoring the implementation of Pacifica policies. So if board members feel that there have been violations, for instance, of the employee handbook, it may form an ad hoc committee that would possibly meet in closed session to discuss any infractions of that policy or any other policy that could be detrimental to the station, and bring a resolution. Again, if it has to do with personnel matters, the resolution would be brought in closed session to the local station board, discussed, and then either passed or not passed, and then sent as a recommendation to the general manager and, if necessary, to the executive director. But it's certainly within the purview of the local station board to deal with any matter that has to do with the survival of the station, if it's important enough. The local station board does not have the ability or the right to manage the station, but it can certainly give important oversight. Also, personnel matters should never be discussed in open session when it's particular personnel and their performance. Of course, financial matters are not confidential, so we routinely give information about how much a particular programmer or show host or show brings in during fund drives. So that can be calculated and that can be discussed. But other personnel matters, for instance, let's say that there's some violation of Pacifica policy by a particular staff member or on-air host, the discussion of that and any kind of advice about that would have to be discussed and decided in closed session.
Thank you, Grace.
You're welcome.
John, you asked for the stack, but I'd like to mention it's now 6:30. My understanding is that the governance committee meets at 7:30. Committee has been meeting for almost 2.5 hours. The chair would entertain a motion to adjourn at this point in time.
Motion to adjourn.
Fred, give me 60 seconds. Come on.
John, I'll give you 60 seconds, John. Go ahead.
Grace, I take what you said as support for what I was saying. You said financial data are not confidential. We always have these fund drive reports. Fred made the point that we cannot talk about programs who are not asking for money. We just need to focus on the data. And bring that to management's attention with a strong sense of urgency. Consider the Super Bowl. Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. He performs really well. We look at his production. He might be nasty to the trainer. Doesn't matter. That's personnel, but his performance is what counts. Let's judge on performance. The finance committee is supposed to judge on financial performance. That's not confidential. I'm done.
Thank you, John.
What does the committee want to do at this point?
Motion to adjourn.
Let's adjourn.
Is there any objection to adjourning at this point in time? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, everybody.